Welcome to the podcast, everyone. I'm Burns Hargis, president of Oklahoma State University. As you know, February is Black History Month. It was officially recognized for the first time in 1976 by President Gerald Ford. His words were spot on when he called on our country to, and I quote, seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. Each year, we do just that at Oklahoma State University's Diversity Hall of Fame. This week on our podcast, we're featuring an interview recorded at our most recent ceremony. You'll hear from Hall of Fame inductee Dr. Earl Mitchell, a longtime professor at OSU and our first tenured African-American professor. You'll also hear from Jordan Knight, a recent graduate recognized as a rising star. These accomplished individuals discuss their journey and offer their perspective on race issues we're still dealing with in society. And now, here is our interview. So let's just have a little conversation here about you all's background, and then we'll go on into your education. Earl, where were you born and where were you raised?
I was born in New Orleans and grew up in housing projects. I was one of the oldest of seven children in New Orleans. My father was a postman, but he had three jobs. He never let my mother work because he thought she should stay home and he would take care of the family. So all my knowledge and understanding about family comes from my father. You should provide for your family. But my wife also grew up in the same area, so Bernice and I have been together for 61 years.
We've been together since high school. Congratulations.
And I went to Xavier University, New Orleans, historically Black college. The only
Catholic college. Is that the only historical Black college?
It was the only Catholic historical Black college, also the only college in the world that was coeducational. There were no coeducational colleges in the Catholic church at the time.
Interesting.
Special dispensation from the Pope for that. But it's a coeducational school.
It was very fortuitous for you.
A great chemistry program, and that's where I got my degree in chemistry. They had a pharmacy school, which almost all the Black pharmacists in the South from the 30s up until about 1950, when Texas Southern received their school, Xavier produced all the Black pharmacists in the South, came from Xavier.
I'll be darned.
So a very strong chemistry program.
So then you went to graduate school.
And I went to Michigan State. New Orleans to East Lansing, Michigan was a real change in my life.
Not just the weather.
Not just the weather. Cultural change also.
So you got your master's there?
Master's in chemistry, PhD in biochemistry. And came here temporarily for 2 years to do research. That was the whole idea. Didn't even know where Oklahoma was on the map. But 21 years in New Orleans, and I've been here 50 years.
So was there a professor here that recruited you?
Yes, George Waller had the first gas chromatograph mass spectrometer in the United States, made in Sweden. Matter of fact, the story is that he had to have the National Guard. Bellman was governor. He was a National Guard to bring it here because they could not bring it here by truck at all. I came here to do research for 2 years, and we got some nice papers out. And a job opened up here for full-time faculty, and I was already here. And they were interviewing people, and I decided maybe I should interview this job too. And so that's where it was. So the rest is history.
That's fantastic. So Jordan, tell us about your background. Where'd you grow up?
So I was actually born in a small town, Evansville, Indiana.
Yeah.
And I was there until I was five, and then my parents moved to Kansas City, Missouri, where they're both from. So I was raised in Kansas City, Missouri from the age of five through high school. During that time, my parents got divorced and my dad moved to Oklahoma City. And I would go see him every summer and holidays, and then that's when my interest into Oklahoma State started to come from just watching the sports with him. And
was he an Oklahoma State fan?
He was an Oklahoma State fan. I was big into, I think it was John Lucas III at the time was playing basketball.
Yeah, basketball.
And James On Curry and a few of them. So I was into the basketball, and I wasn't even thinking about if they had a good engineering school or anything like that. My dad is an electrical engineer. My mom is an accountant. So my inspiration to be an electrical engineer kind of came from my dad, and I knew from high school, freshman year, that that's kind of where I wanted to go. Although, ironically, that's not exactly what I do for Phillips 66 today.
Right. We're going to get into that. Yes. Were you a basketball player?
Yeah, I played basketball and all the way through to high school, and then when I got to college, I just did, of course, intramural sports this year. So.
Well, that's great. Well, just talk a little bit, Earl, and I'm sure you were a professor here and not a student.
Yes.
So your experience is a little different. But as you know, you and I have discussed a number of times over the years. We want to be a more diverse campus, but I know there's been some rough sledding over the years here.
Over the years, excuse me, I've seen a lot of it, but also have seen the changes that have occurred. We've gone through several rough periods during my lifetime here, but one of the things that's fascinating about my experience at OSU is that I had a great environment that I was in with my colleagues in the department. Being an African-American professor, one expects a lot from you in terms of the community.
Right.
And so not only did I have to publish papers, but also was required to somewhat socially involve in the community. So I was very much involved in the community, the students, and also with the community of Stillwater. Because Stillwater has a black community, unusual, but they've been here since before. I found out since 1907. They've been here that long in that community.
Really?
And so I became involved with the community, with the local community, also with the students, and was advisor to the African American Student Organization when they first formed it. And so I spent a lot of time with the students, and I figured that my responsibility was to try to help students to understand that whenever things go wrong with you or you're confronted with problems, that it's not you. You have to pick up your feet and move on in a direction. And so part of my reason for being here was to really be a role model and take the hit and not be positive about lots of things. And so I think that was very helpful to me also. But it also helped having a good wife too. My wife was very helpful.
And all of us benefit from that. Jordan, you came, of course, much later in 2012. And Was it hard coming here as a person of color? Or were you, like, in your high school in Kansas City, and
so,
was it integrated?
In Kansas City, it was integrated. It was, you didn't quite see as much of the racial issues while in school. I didn't really have that much that I dealt with. But coming to Oklahoma and coming to Stillwater, it was still kind of different because of the actual overall population here in school. It was like, I think, 4% at the time, African American maybe. So the thing that kind of helped me transition was that I actually came to a summer bridge program that ConocoPhillips had probably the summer before my freshman year. And that kind of helped me meet some people and other students prior to coming. That way, when school kind of did start off, I at least had that small community that I did kind of know some people that it made it easier to transition. But yeah, walking around campus is just not seeing many of us. And you know, I know things have kind of improved since then, but.
Yeah, the numbers are not dramatically different, but while we have grown, we've grown really in all areas of diversity, frankly. Of course, the Latinos are many, many more than there used to be. But I tell everybody that's in the recruiting world here that really the best recruiting we can do is for the people here to have a great experience. I mean, if you have a great experience, then you go back to your high school and you tell your friends that that's a great place and everybody's friendly and you get a lot of support from your faculty and so on. Then you got a chance to recruit them. If they go, you go back. It's like a restaurant. You go back and say that place is terrible. You know, well, no, you're never going to go there. So we've really tried to work hard to get people a little more involved with each other. In fact, Earl, I just ask you, one of the things I've noticed in all this is, and it's perfectly natural human phenomena, that you like to be around people that look like you. And yes, have your experience and the same and all that. It's kind of natural to gravitate that way. But our challenge is to get people to learn about each other, and so then it becomes a shared experience. For example, we have a lot of very outstanding African-American students in Afro-Am, the umbrella organization. But you don't see those move over into other things like, homecoming or mortarboard or some of those mainstream kinds of things that we've had. And I'm trying to get people to understand there's, get out of your comfort zone a little bit. That's easy for me to say, being
well,
from the majority.
Well, it's not easy for anybody. It's not easy for you to say either, yeah. To be honest with you, because our culture is a divisive culture. And we come from an environment where we focus more on our differences than we do on the things that we have in common. So I spent a good part of the last 10 years or so, since I retired, focusing on trying to find those things that bring us together and to not focus on our differences. Mm. And that's been hard to do. My last year, I taught a diversity class, a class for honor students, best class I ever had. Had
How's
a
mix,
mixture of students. They were of different backgrounds. And teaching those kids about diversity was really interesting because they had never been approached that way before, about trying to look at their common grounds rather than differences. I had them look at their differences too, but I had them look more and focus on what they had in common. And they discovered some things about each other. They came across some lines, but that's the hard part, is getting people to look at the things that bring you together.
Well, that's kind of our politics today.
Yes.
Is trying to focus on our differences and not what we all can agree on. You've gone now to Phillips Petroleum. Tell us a little bit about your career there.
Yeah, so I actually got an internship my senior year. I had an internship for Phillips 66 in IT in Houston. And it was a great experience, and it's actually what kept me interested in Phillips 66 was the culture. That's kind of a big key driver for me.
They bring a very handsome check every year, and a good part of it is focused on diversity.
Yes, and the culture, just the way they kind of interact. I mean, you go to a lot of different companies that when you're walking past someone, they may not say anything to you, and this with Phillips 66, I experienced. They're always trying to help. They're always willing to kind of see how your day is going and just give you that family environment. I mean, somewhere that you're going to spend majority of your time during the week, you want it to feel like, you know, it's kind of like home. It's never home, but
right.
Gives you that comforting feeling. So
well, a lot of people say that about this campus.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, have you been to that Endeavor? Have you been over to the Endeavor facility?
I have not.
Oh,
yet.
You got to go see that.
It's worth
that,
it.
Yeah.
That's the new engineering lab. Well, they don't like me to use a facility out there.
Yes.
But it's for research
okay.
for people all over the campus. But you won't believe the equipment that's in there.
Wow.
I mean, it's make a point while you're here. To,
yeah.
Just right north of the new business building.
Okay, yeah. I have seen the business
yeah,
building.
It's okay. Pretty cool, too. Well, Dr. Mitchell, you've been, I mentioned in the opening that you were the first African-American tenured professor we had here at Oklahoma State University. Says a lot about you, and it also says a little bit about the university, I might add. And you've had a lot of firsts over the years. For a student starting out here, what would be your advice so they can be a first at something?
Well, I think the first thing, you have to have really good self-confidence. Not cocky, but self-confident. And I'm kind of like Muhammad Ali says, I'm the greatest. Well, he could say it because he was.
Yeah.
But you have to have that kind of attitude. Not braggadocious about it, but first, self-confidence. And second, never be afraid to step up to do something. Don't be reluctant, because it will help you to move on a lot further, and you can offer an awful lot, because most of us, we're very humble. Most of us, we don't think we're as good as we are. But you have a responsibility to be the best you can be, and never apologize for trying to do good. That's the main thing.
What would be your advice, Jordan, to new students, African American or otherwise, that come to Oklahoma State to have the best experience? You mentioned going to that internship
yeah.
before you started. You know, we have something called Camp Cowboy here.
Yes, I've heard of that.
And
yes.
And that's the 3-day course, I call it. It's a 3-day kind of outing here, but with a lot of other students, and that's, they learned about the traditions and a lot about the campus, but but mainly they meet each other so that when they show up, they actually see some familiar faces.
So actually, my sister is a freshman here.
Oh, really?
At Oklahoma State. Her name is Shayla Knight, and you know,
ever come by and see me?
I always make sure to tell her things that I may have not done while I was here that she should do. Involvement is definitely one. I've told her to get very involved in campus life. I think a lot of times you have students that come to school and they're just so focused on the degree and no extra.
And then we have just the opposite with some that are only focused on the fun.
Right. Right. So, you know, I encourage her to get involved in, you know, I was involved in National Society of Black Engineers. I held some leadership positions there. And I think a lot of, you know, not only joining an organization, but actually holding leadership positions is what kind of helped me get probably my first internship, because my first internship was me. I got it as a sophomore. I don't have much class experience, but I have experience from being involved with National Society of Black Engineers. I had some skills that I could showcase to help for the fact that I didn't have the work experience yet or even classroom project experience.
Well, it showed leadership skills.
Right.
It showed that you had some leadership and interest. And you met a lot of people that you may make friends, I've found, when you're working together for a common goal. Nobody's trying to sell the other one anything. I mean, they're just...
Exactly. And
what else would you tell your sister to
do? Well, for the past 4 years, through Phillips 66, we have a P66 day that we kind of do on campus in August, right when school's starting. And I actually have organized a diversity panel that we have every year where we have some different backgrounds of the company come and sit on a panel and talk with the students and answer questions about how to be prepared for the career fair, you know, how to go about that, getting that internship, and then also how to be involved in student life, because a lot of students would like to just take summer classes and get that 4.0, have no experience, no organization that they've been involved in, and then, you know, wonder why they may come out and still be looking for a job, because they never, you know, try to take the time to actually be involved and get that experience through internships. And I kind of press the importance of internships and going to the career fair even as a freshman. That's one thing I've told my sister is, I know you're a freshman and you may even be forced to go now these days. Sometimes they make you go as a freshman, but just go, dress up, and, you know, make sure you present yourself well. Research the companies before you go. I was like, you may not have any experience besides a high school grocery store, but just, you know, come prepared. You never know.
Yeah, I always tell them, if you're going to go interview with a company, get on Google and learn everything
exactly.
you can about that company.
Exactly.
Thing. Earl, you've, just speaking to Jordan's comments about getting involved, you have been involved in almost everything. I've watched you all the years, admired you and all
that
you've done.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And you've really been involved way past just the Stillwater community, all over the state and the country. But let me take you back to that diversity class that you taught.
Mm-hmm.
What are a couple of the main takeaways that you tried to get across to your students?
Well, the main takeaway, I'm glad you asked the question, because I met a student about a couple of weeks ago who took that class. He was in Stillwater. And he came by to tell me, he says, you know, I took that class. He says, ever since that class, I have understood what you call white privilege. And I say, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, we talked about white privilege, and I had never thought about that before. He says, I know I can't change who I was. I can't change my parents, and you can't change yours. But what I learned is that I didn't have to use that as a means of getting ahead of somebody by having that privilege and not understanding another person struggling. So I've always learned that part, that I had a special responsibility because I was privileged, and to not use that privilege as an advantage over others.
Yeah.
And he says that was one of the things that I learned from that class. And that was really a good take-home lesson. But the main thing for African-American students, I wanted them to understand, is that because someone may call your name or something happened to you, it doesn't mean you don't turn your homework assignment. You don't get mad and not do your work.
And you're punishing yourself.
Yeah, and what you do is you make sure that the next time it's even better. So just lift your head up and move on down the road, because you're gonna be confronted with it at some time in your career, and it's not gonna, and it should not wipe you out, and you will.
Yeah, yeah, It's hard for people that are in the majority to be able to step into your shoes and understand
yes.
the things that would be offensive if you were, but they're oblivious to it. And it's something we're trying to make people more aware of, and just pretend we're all green. I mean,
that's right.
It doesn't matter what color, you know, we're colorblind, and that's really the way I hope we are.
And the other one other thing is I also try to the students focus on things that you see in other people that you like in terms of common ground. I say use those as means of communicating. Don't let the differences divide you. Find those things that you work with. And you find that professionally when you get into the job situation, because my experiences on my job was that I had great colleagues in my department, and we had one goal in experimentation to do research, publish papers, and to teach the students, and to extend that. And that we understood that goal very well.
Jordan, you're not even 30 years old yet, and you're already a rising star. I mean, it's here. It's in this program. Your face is in this program. How in the world does that feel?
I'm very humble and honored. It's an overwhelming feeling, but a good one. I've had so many people reach out to me, not just from OSU, but actually from Phillips 66, and congratulate me. And just to know that I'm receiving this award, kind of, I just have to thank God that I'm doing, I guess, something right to where people are kind of noticing my achievements. But I'm just very honored
for
this.
Well, you've had a lot of achievements, and we hope that you'll be back here in a few years when you have a little few more wrinkles and be honored into the Hall of Fame like Earl.
Yes, I hope so too.
Our commitment to diversity at Oklahoma State University is strong. Our Division of Institutional Diversity, which is led by Dr. Jason Kirksey, is dedicated to ensuring that the contributions of all members of the OSU community are respected, valued, and celebrated. The Diversity Hall of Fame ceremony is one way we celebrate these contributions. You can watch all the ceremonies on OState TV. Just go to ostate.tv and search Diversity Hall of Fame. And that's this week's Inside OSU podcast. We'll be back next week, so click the subscribe button on iTunes and make sure you don't miss it. I'm Burns Hargis. Thanks for listening.